Jammer some show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. We've got a couple calls here that we'll get. And later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Peter Carlin, going to join us from the Oregonian as well. More from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. And we will have another installment of Scotty J's The Suburban Perspective. We need a theme song for that as well. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the South, our good friend, CNN radio correspondent and mellow man about town, Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir.
Rick, how are you?
I am dandy. Let me ask you this. What does the name Brian Blank mean to you?
Brian Blank, he means a guy that is in New York. Apparently he's, I guess he's a CNN guy. I guess he kind of fills in, and he's filling in every once in a while.
Now, have you ever met Brian Blank or spoken to him?
Have not.
See,
I have not.
This is the first time his name has ever come across our desk on a prep sheet. Now, I don't know if he's going to be the guy who takes Baumgarten's place. Not that anybody could take Gary Baumgartner's place, or if he's just he's a fill-in. We were all excited to talk to Brian Blank today, A, because we haven't had anybody from New York since Baumgarten retired, and secondly, because he was going to talk about the impending bankruptcy, I think the third bankruptcy now, for Air America. And we always like to follow their demise. And so, but neither of those things, we weren't able to do any of those things because CNN, we were denied permission to speak to him. Apparently, he is off the clock for the day. So we're looking forward to a time in the future when we can speak to Brian Blank. But that day is not today, apparently.
Oh, he struck out on that one, huh?
No, is it? Yeah, they're usually very flexible. They are very understanding about these things. But we asked to speak to Brian Blank, and we were given a very brusque no. That's not possible. So I'm trying to get. What's that?
Who'd you speak with?
Who did we speak with? There was it, Laura?
No, we spoke with Chris today.
We spoke with Chris.
Chris was very polite. No,
I'm not saying he was being mean about it. I'm saying it just wasn't possible.
It wasn't possible. He was only working in the morning today.
So I'm just saying, no pun intended, that Brian Blank is just sort of a blank to it. He's just sort of an enigma to us. So we're looking forward to our first encounter with him. As we welcome any member of the CNN family into the extended Rick Emerson family.
So. Well, you know, that's always nice. I'll have to dig deeper into that one. Well, actually, maybe I won't. It's none of my business, I guess.
No, it's absolutely your business. Here's something else that is also your business. You should know that after many, many, many months of effort, today Bob Costantini was actually funny. He wasn't hilarious. I'm not saying he was like Red Skelton funny. But I'm saying we broke down his professionalism just a little bit. We finally got back past this barrier of, like, I am a broadcaster and I have to uphold the good name of CNN. He was actually amusing today, which is a solid step forward for that guy.
And I forgot the other nickname I couldn't think of, and that would be Costantini. They call him Noodles.
Which is fantastic, by the way. That is a great name. So
I knew you'd love that because apparently he is... one fine Italian chef.
He is. Now, we avoided the obvious Godfather song for his theme. He wanted fanfare for the common man. So he has an illustrious intro bed that we created for him. So, no, he was funny today. I know there was some question about whether Bob had it in him to really be entertaining or amusing.
That's good.
He does.
You know,
he seems like a very dry person on first glance, but I'm telling you, underneath him, there's comedy. It's like strip mining the Appalachians. I will get that comedy out of him. It's the last thing I do.
You can always bring out the funniness in anybody.
It's what I do. So there's really no way to make this a graceful segue here. We knew this day was going to come, right? I don't know about the other two, but this one guy on Mount Hood, of course, it did, which I think we all knew was going to be the case. The weird thing is, and I don't know if you know any information that we don't know as of now, but the weird thing is there's these three guys, and yet they found two obviously lived-in snow caves, which sort of seems to defy, like, I don't know why there would be multiple caves, why these guys would not all be in one cave together. Is there any thoughts on that? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I really don't know. Unless he was the one who went out and made that like that Y-shaped form that they have out there is kind of to mountain climbers, that's kind of a code that we are here in this area. So I don't know, but they apparently dug a smaller snow cave, maybe to keep warmer. I don't know.
Maybe. And so is there the other two guys? They found this guy, in a cave? The dead guy, they found him in a cave, and the other two guys are just in parts unknown?
Well, they're right now they're thinking that maybe they fell over the edge.
Oh.
That's what the latest is on that.
And that is, there is a history of that happening. I think it was Mount Hood. We had a terrible Black Hawk helicopter accident happen where a guy fell into a crevasse. And that's, I mean, that was the end of him. Yeah, so.
They're thinking that may have happened. And, you know, it's going to be real difficult to get anything from the air down there to get a close look, but they're gonna keep trying. So
yeah,
that's, you know, and you know, maybe a miracle will happen, but you know, that's one of the theories now. They held a news conference earlier today, and that's what they were saying. So
Oregon's really, not to make light of this, but we're going to get like a Baltimore rap here. We're going to get like a really bad rap. Is like the state, you don't want to come here because the state just kills you. I mean, it's not been an illustrious season.
Has your weather subsided any out there at all?
Yeah, it was really only the one bad day. We had this one terrible day of wind, and again, not to downplay, because I guess there were a couple deaths. There were a few people that died, and, you know, obviously it's bad. But I mean, we had, like, relatives calling us from Florida, you know, like, are you still alive? And they were convinced that the entire Northwest was just going to be decimated by this wind. And it was a bad night. I heard from a few people who got some holes punched in their roofs and whatnot. But, I mean, you guys in the South, I mean, you guys are way more familiar with that than we are. I mean, you...
Yeah, we get a lot of that. But what was this about? People were using the charcoal grills to keep warm?
Oh, God, where?
Well, in Oregon. That's what I heard, and they were
inside.
Not inside, I don't think, but they were getting sick from trying to keep warm. I don't know, they get the fumes or something.
I have not read that. We'll look into it. I mean, there are some. How do I put this? There are some sections of Oregon that are not especially enlightened, and so there are some really dumb places in this state. I'll just put it that way. So it really, you do hear. Scotty is typing. Was it in Gresham? Is that where that happened, Scotty? They had a barbecue. It was in Gresham. Tim Riley's telling me now. They were. Please tell me this isn't true. They were running a barbecue in the house to keep.
See, that happens. That's terrible.
Are they dead? Did they die? Well, that's, yeah. Who could? I mean, really. Let's just speak openly. Who could say it's been a heck of a? It's been a heck of a day and a heck of a week and whatever. So, my friend, I will. I'll let you go. And I guess as the week goes on, we'll sort of follow this and see if anything else happens. But as always, thanks. We don't have a Northwest correspondent, so you are the closest thing to it. So thanks for staying up to speed on this, my friend.
I thank you, and you know, we'll talk to you this week, and we'll see if we can get Mr. Blank on, and we'll see if we can still continue to have Constantini be funny.
Seriously, and see if you can find some good news for me somewhere.
Well, yeah, we need good news.
Absolutely.
First way is we get closer to the fabulous holiday here.
That's what I'm saying. Seriously, the news that doesn't involve somebody running a hibachi inside a closet to keep warm. All right. Ed McCarthy, thank you, sir.
Sorry for laughing at that.
Apparently they're alive, so it's okay to mock them. That's kind of our rule. Is that once, you know, if they're still alive or thought to be alive, you can make all the fun you want.
If they survived, it's okay.
Absolutely. No, look, I got to tell you, this is a true story. A couple years ago, almost a decade ago, I was in the Salt Lake, and we were covering a story, these two drunken idiots. And anytime there's drunken idiots in a story, you know it's a great story. And I swear to God, this is true. These two idiots were all drunk, and they were out on like some, like a high school track and field playground thing. And they somehow got into one of the sort of storage sheds where they kept a lot of their track and field equipment. And I swear to God, these guys were so drunk and stupid, they decided to play catch by tossing, wait for it, a javelin back and forth to each other.
Oh, no.
And, I mean, you know where this is going. Where the one, you know, the guy throws the javelin and the other guy's like, hey, I got it. Whoa, hey, it's right through my hand. And, I mean, and there was a photo of it and everything. Guy, javelin right through the palm of the hand, like full-on javelin stigmata. That's perfectly okay to laugh at because he lived.
You see something like that on the National Enquirer, yeah?
Those people are put here for our amusement, Ed McCarthy. They are put here to make our world a little brighter. All right, that's my...
You just did.
That's the official Rick Emerson opinion.
I like it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Rick. All right, there we'll you talk go. To you. Bye-bye.
Ed McCarthy. There you go. You get the feeling those guys, they don't get a lot of laughs at CNN. It's not like we're not an amusing program, because I like to think that we are. But it seemed like they... I'm not saying they find it disproportionately funny, but sometimes it really is like this is the only laugh they get all day long.
Probably. They have to cover a lot of depressing stuff.
It's that, and probably most of the people they talk to are just jackholes anyway. I mean, somebody said, I shouldn't say this, but Todd the Corpse, actually. Todd the Corpse, because we had asked that question about Bob Costantini. We said, like, what does Bob sound like when he's on other radio stations. Does he sound happy to be on there? Because we had speculated, that is not to say I, people, Sarah, had speculated
no.
that Bob didn't like being on with us, that Bob hated me.
I didn't say he hated you. I said that he sometimes seems like he would rather be somewhere else when he's here.
That he was not especially happy to be on the program. And I said, well, we got to hear what he's like when he's on some other show as like a benchmark. And Todd the Corpse sent me the audio of this program that Bob Costantini was on. And he's like, well, Bob sounds okay. Of course, and this is Todd's description. He said, well, Todd, he said, Bob sounds okay on this program. Of course, it's all relative because the program he's on is like the single dullest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And I opted at the time, I opted not to play. It's no longer the case. I opted not to play it at the time because at the time it was the it was a program that was that CBS was carrying in this market. It's the Bob Rivers Show.
Oh.
And so I was just like, I've never heard this program. It's the worst thing. This is the most tedious display of broadcasting I've ever heard in my life. And I think at the time Bob Rivers was on whatever with the Mix or whatever it was, at Mix One, which is now Moving 107.5. So I think in a show of fraternal solidarity, I opted not to play, quote, what Todd believed to be the worst radio program he'd ever heard in his life. So I'm fairly sure that CBS was putting a lot of resources behind that. You know, the thing about Bob Rivers, he's a hairdresser. They're all the hairdressers on that show. All of them. Every one of them is a hairdresser. I continue to find it funny. I know you don't. Will, I have to explain it. This joke, we should start doing this every day. Where Tim and I constantly give punchlines to things, and then we don't explain the joke until later on in the program. There you go. That's like a guarantee. Hume decor, baby. Hume decor. Benny, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, what up, Rick? How you doing?
Hey.
Okay, hey, I thought Tony Hardy bought Heidi's Fleiss.
Heidi Fleiss, all the Hollywood. I don't know. I don't see. That's the thing is, it seems like we ought to have a definitive answer by now, but I don't think we do.
I think that's true. Then Todd Bridges bought Vanilla Ice.
I think you might be wrong about that.
Oh wait, maybe that was Danny Bonducci. Who knows?
I think Todd Bridges fought.
Who did Vanilla Ice fight?
I think he fought Todd Bridges, and I think Danny Bonaducci fought one of the Brady kids.
Oh, yeah, the Brady dude. Yeah, that's right.
I believe.
And then, who the hell goes summoning Mount Hood in the wintertime?
Well, these guys, apparently, in a poor choice. It really doesn't seem. And I'm not going to go on and on and on about it because the guy's dead, and they're looking for the other two guys. But the thing is. You know, what nobody will really say about this is the, and I'm sure that I'm sure other people have said it, but what I don't hear a lot of people saying anyway in the liberal media is that what they won't say is the reason that this kind of thing is notable in the first place is because it is a so-called extreme sport. And an extreme sport is extreme because you might die doing it. That's the whole reason this is notable, and let's be honest, that is the whole thrill and appeal of this to people is that it's risky and it's challenging and there's a chance that you might die while doing it.
Yeah,
and,
well, it seems like it's either somebody's getting hit by the Mac or they're getting lost on Mount Hood.
That's all there is to do in Portland.
Yeah, for real.
Thank you, sir.
All right, take it easy.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's the whole thing. I mean, I am sad for their families and so forth. Again, I don't mean that in an Eddie Haskell way. I mean, it goes without saying. But, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that's the appeal of it, right? They're not just going on a hiking by a mountain stream. They're hiking up a sheet of ice. And the appeal is that it's hard, and it's dangerous, and it's edgy, and it's extreme, and it's tricky and risky, and you might not make it back. And that's the whole thing. And they were getting ready. They were doing this as a preparation for Everest, for climbing Everest, during which 1 in 4 people die, by the way. So, you know, it is... Not that I'm glad they're dead, but it is hard to have sympathy for somebody who was voluntarily engaging themselves in a behavior, and not even like a firefighter who's doing that for some greater good. They were voluntarily putting themselves in a position where they knew there was a chance they would die and doing it just because, like, you know, and just doing it so they had a thing to brag about. That's the other thing. Doing it so they had some macho crap to brag about to their other macho friends. So, there you go. Let's see. Chad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's up, Rick, dude?
What's up?
Whoever.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, before I give my F, Matt, I just want to say I have heard plenty of sisters doing the mama jokes, so it's just Sarah.
Now, when you say sisters, do you mean girls or do you mean chocolate love girls?
I mean the chocolate love. And actually, no, I'm pretty sure I saw some white girls doing it.
No, I know. I know other people do it. I just, I'm not really part of.
It is not a kind of comedy that Sarah appreciates.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's maybe not feeling silly today. I don't know.
No, it's. I think it is. It is one of those kinds of jokes that one either appreciates or does not.
Yeah.
It's definitely. Like dead baby jokes. You either like dead baby jokes or you don't. Who? I mean, yeah. But I do think everybody likes dead baby jokes. Sarah.
Well, your baby's on spikes jokes.
No, like what is the difference between a. What's the difference between a truckload of dead babies and a truckload of bowling balls?
What?
You can't unload bowling balls with a pitchfork.
Oh.
Bam! There you go.
That makes me feel like
yeah. What's
right
up?
On, man.
What do you got?
So, hey, this is hailing back from the KOTK days.
Yes.
When Chris Heat was, we were talking about fixing toilets that day.
Yeah.
And it said, F Matt with a ball cock.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Have fun.
KOTK!
Excellent. Well done. Ball cock. Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I've got two of them for you. Your mom is so fat, the last time I got in bed with her, I had to slap her leg and ride the whip.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
First joke, funny. Second joke,
See, and that's why, because some of them are funny, but you never, it's like 50-50 that it's just going to be wrong and you don't want to hear it.
It inevitably becomes that.
Yeah. Oh.
Rick, your mama is so fat. You've never heard that one before? I had to bleep it. But,
no.
Yeah. Everybody knows the second half. Roller and Flower. Everybody knows the second half. Rick, your mama's so fat, she goes to the zoo. Elephants throw her peanuts. See, that's hilarious. Let's see. Ken, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how are you doing today?
What's up, Ken?
Best show ever.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I got the definitive answer for Tonya Harding.
Okay.
She was supposed to fight Heidi Fleiss in the celebrity boxing, but Heidi Fleiss pulled out. So she fought, I think her name was Paula Rose, the other Clinton girl.
Paula Jones, Paula Corbin Jones. So it was Paula Jones. Okay, because I had thought it was Heidi Fleiss, but so you say Heidi Fleiss backed out.
Yeah, she backed out, and Paula Jones got whooped and by Tonya, and then Tonya went into the professional boxing. Eventually, she was supposed to fight a transvestite, but the boxing commission or whatever wouldn't sanction the fight, so that fell through. I believe now she's doing a skating coach at Lloyd Center.
And somebody said that at one point, they had been trying to eventually line her up to fight, what's her name, Muhammad Ali's, was it Layla Ali?
I don't know about that. I don't think Tonya would stand
No, you know, you don't want to screw with that girl. She'll kill you. So,
and I do have a Yo Mama joke for
excellent.
You.
Excellent, thank you. Yes.
Yo Mama's so fat, nobody wants to sleep with her because they're afraid that she'll you'll catch a buffet.
Catch a buffet. I don't believe I get that.
They're afraid that they'll catch a buffet because she's so fat. Never mind.
All right, thank you, sir. You get it?
No.
No one explain it to me. I don't want to know. Catch a buffet.
I don't even know. I'm trying to think in like any way where that would be
relevant.
I don't
know. I plead ignorance right now if that's unintentionally oogie. Yeah, I know. She's so fat. Scotty's typing buffet, too much food. Okay. I don't understand. You don't know either. I know, because she's fat. I understand. I don't. You don't understand either, Scotty. You don't get the joke. We're all like in grade school. Do you ever in grade school, Jared, somebody tell you like a sex joke and you laugh, but you have no idea what the joke means? But you're totally like, that's great. Excellent. And it's like you have no idea what the joke means. Tony, do you concur with the Tonya Paula Jones thing?
Yeah, it was definitely Paula Jones.
Excellent. All right. Okay, so it was supposed to be Heidi Fleiss, and then ended up being Paula Jones, and
yes.
That's the definitive word.
That's the definitive word.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
All right,
there you go. That is the definitive word on the thing. It's 503-733. Why? Oh, look at this. Rick, would you like some Tonya Harding erotic fan fiction? Would I ever? Let's see. It's 503-733. Rick, your mama's so fat, when she goes swimming, she leaves a ring around the lake. Hey, Sarah, what's the difference in a dead baby and a hammer?
What, Rick?
I don't have a sack of hammers in the trunk of my car.
What a fun, I don't want the game back, it's the end.
Hello. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. We return Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Are these people calling to explain the buffet joke? I don't want you to know what it means. And so forth. Jim Roop coming up later on, and Scotty J gives the suburban perspective. Stay right there. Emerson Radio Program. Do kids do double dutch jump roping anymore? Is that a thing the kids do?
I'm not around any kids. I wouldn't know.
Me either.
They're banned from my municipality.
The Homeowners Association goes around and checks the uteruses of all the women. Your uterus must be rocky and barren for you to live here. Seed must be able to find no purchase. It's 503-733-2970. You know what's funny is talking about male essence in terms of calling it seed. There's something really funny there, and I don't know why. There is a unique strand of comedy that comes from just referring to it as seed. Our insides were a barren and rocky place where my seed could find no purchase. That's funny. That's humor is what that is. Steve Allen wouldn't agree, of course, but he's dead.
That's filthy.
So he's not around to argue. It's 503. Are you Steve Allen? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733.
Something bad is going to happen.
Sitting here taunting a dead comedian from the 50s. You're not around anymore. Are you Mr. Steve Allen, Mr. Decomposing?
And what about you, Ernie Kovacs?
That's a phrase no one has ever said before. No one has ever said the phrase, and what about you, Mr. Ernie Kovacs? It's, 503-733-2970, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth. Sorry, little piece of hair there.
Well, you're talking about comedians from the 50s.
You know, that was God trying to kill me for making fun of Steve Allen right there. Mm-hmm. The good Lord Jesus tried to kill me. You all heard it. You all witnessed Jesus trying to kill me just then. And so forth. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So first, clearing up this Tonya Harding thing. She defeated Paula Jones, March 13th, 2002, and Amy Fisher backed out.
Aha.
That is the final word on
so
that.
So it was not Heidi Fleiss who backed out.
No.
Aha, Sherrod,
that
you
was
are.
Meticulously researched.
All right.
In my spare time.
On Wikipedia.
Yes.
So it was, who that backed out?
It was Amy Fisher.
Amy Fisher. And then Tonya Harding worked Paula Jones. And then went on to beat no one else ever.
Right.
Okay.
Then apparently she went back to teach skating because children want her to do that.
Yeah, somebody sent me a picture of her where she's massive, by the way. She's holding... I mean, you know, the thing is she's... and I mean... I was going to say I mean this in a good way, but I guess there really is no good way. I was going to say she's a very stumpy woman. Mm. She's... The thing about Tonya Harding, she's... she seems kind of short, for one thing. And she gets stout very quickly. That's I'm looking at Tonya Harding, and that's what happens. You get too muscular, and you don't also then keep your calorie count low, I think. You get very, very...
She likes stout.
She's a beefy woman, is what she is. Here's Tim Riley.
Two of the three climbers missing on Mount Hood could have fallen from a steep slope when the dangers of avalanches impeded a search today. Will you hear this part? Kelly James and his two colleagues climbed the north face of Mount Hood in an area known as the Pearly Gates.
Really? Are you kidding me?
No. They climbed an area known as the Pearly Gates.
Page.
We're just conveying fact here.
Page and Charles Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Darwin, yes. You have a telephone call at the front desk.
Okay. Hood River County Deputy Sheriff Mark Smith said searchers are focused on an area near where James' body was found for the two men.
Just some of the evidence that was left at the snow caves that they discovered yesterday.
While climbing near where, Tim?
The Pearly Gates.
Okay.
Talk about where the caves are located and how likely it would be for the missing men to move around in that area, Deputy.
These caves are just above this Elliott Glacier, and this would be a natural route for somebody... to likely come down into.
They're just above Deadville, and then over by Kill Ya Dead Pass. And then there's Deadtonia over there to your left. And then about 3 miles over that way.
The peak of disappointment.
I was going to say Starvation Hill and Find You Next Spring Embankment.
Please describe for us lay people what a snow cave is.
Usually have a...
All right, look, I know there's a lot of lingo, but really it seems like some of these are self-explanatory.
Usually have a some sort of a slope with snow on it, and you dig in, and you can use any sort of natural rocks or trees or anything that'll
create... As opposed to unnatural
rocks
and trees.
That's kind of what they did. They dug under kind of a rock overhang. And...
Yeah, okay.
I hope they didn't dig under the pearly gates.
You are a bad person. You're not, actually.
No, I'm not. I'm describing facts.
Climbing in a place called the Pearly Gates. Really? Okay. Yeah, that's it. I mean, and it's really not too soon. It really isn't too soon at this point. Really, you're climbing in a place called the Pearly... I don't know what these guys did. I'm suspecting. I can't say that this is true. But you know who these guys typically are. And when I say guys, I mean guys like this, who do things of this nature. You know what they are?
They're chick magnets.
Not anymore. But I was... I was going to say something unnecessarily cruel, which I will not. It's too soon. I'll wait till tomorrow. I was just going to say this, though. You know, these are always software engineer guys. That's who this always is. It's never...
This fellow who died was in landscaping.
Well, see...
Another is a lawyer.
Yeah, the lawyer. See, I'll bet you... The lawyer. I bet he's the same guy that rides a Harley Davidson on the weekends and thinks he's a badass.
He'd be better off riding a Harley Davidson on the weekends.
Yeah. It always is. It's never like a bunch of Sam Elliott guys who you never hear about guys like this dying, and they're guys who like live in like a cabin on the hill, and they're like men of the land, and they eat juniper berries, and they wear the pelts of cougars and so forth. It's always...
I have a pet chimpanzee.
Yeah, it's always like some pussy boy software designer from Intel who on the weekend is like, and I'm going to go climb up Devil's Face, you know, and it's, okay, have fun with that. And then it's like you see him, you know, 500 years in the future in a museum with an arrow through his head. That's always who it is. So, yeah, I mean, whatever. Impress somebody else.
Who hasn't filled out their Christmas cards and mailed them yet?
Me. Who's not going to send any? Me.
I might send one.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, today is the busiest postal day of the year at the post office. Postal clerk Gibbs says if you're mailing a holiday package, use a sturdy box and write legibly on the outside, but not on the inside.
We suggest that you put an index card inside of the package with the contents.
Dear snooping
and an
postal
address.
Worker.
So if something does happen,
dear
we can
thief.
Certainly get it back to you as soon as possible.
Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah, no, they're all over that. No offense. Yeah, that's not going to be the case. I haven't, the last Christmas card I sent, and it wasn't even a Christmas card. To be kooky, I sent a Kwanzaa card to Mark Whalen, who is now our general manager here. I think before he had hired us, I was just one of those, so we're still out here. We're still available. This talent could be work. This comedic skill could be working for you, Mark Whalen, at CBS Radio. And so I sent him a happy Kwanzaa card from all of us. I think that is the last. I think, first of all, that's the only holiday card I've sent, like, in the last 15 years.
And oh,
I think
that
that's
worked.
The only one. And it worked. So why break a streak? I'm not going to do it again. Yeah.
Well, this is not going to be a very happy 21st birthday for Tara Conner. The Kentucky beauty is on the verge of losing her Miss USA crown from Donald Trump over allegations of drug use, excessive partying, and kissing other girls on the lips.
Oh, yeah. She's won the beauty. She won the pageant of my heart, though. Mm-hmm. She's Miss Rick Emerson.
This is damning evidence. And it's continuing to mount against Conner, whose tumultuous reign began in April. Yesterday, the New York Daily News reported Conner had failed a drug test for cocaine. Sources confirmed to TMZ that she was caught red-handed.
Yeah.
She took a hair follicle drug test, and it turned out possible for coke.
Bam!
Now, what's more, we're told the pageant officials knew they had a problem with Conner and her wild ways the moment she was crowned, and has been deeply troubled by her friendship with 18-year-old Miss Teen USA Katie Blair.
Oh, that is so hot. Really?
Well, the pair have been spotted kissing each other. In bars.
Oh, that's the best.
And then returning together to her posh Trump Place apartment, which she has since vacated. Late at night, apparently she's been seen with a variety of men there.
Is this Miss USA or Miss America?
Miss USA.
I can never keep them straight. What's the difference between USA
know.
And Miss America?
They're two different pageants.
But I mean, is there a...
Miss, let's see.
Is there a different criteria? Because you know, like, there's a
I believe so.
There's a Mrs. USA.
Oh, I have
all married women.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, there are two separate pageants. Donald Trump owns this Miss USA.
So Miss USA. So this is just like an, it's like the Hollywood video to Miss America's blockbuster video. But the point, so Miss USA has been making out with Miss Teen USA?
And then bringing a variety of men home.
That is indescribably hot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I seriously, I'll pay any price for that. Just because it's so wrong. It's just so deviant and wonderful.
Meanwhile, Penthouse Magazine has been actively courting her for the photo spread.
Of course. Where would Penthouse be, really, without Miss America and without the Miss USA pageant? Sarah only knows Vanessa Williams as the singer of Colors of the Wind. You don't know Vanessa Williams as the Miss America who was getting it on in hot lesbo action in the pages of Penthouse.
Oh, really?
You don't know that?
No, I knew that she had posed nude. I didn't know that it was some...
She was Miss America. Vanessa Williams was Miss America. And then Bob Guccione, who was the publisher of Penthouse, I think still is. God, I'm amazed that magazine is still around. Do you hear a noise? Is there a channel open somewhere?
I'm hearing some static in my headphones.
Is that the Likas channel?
No, the Likas channel is closed.
Anyway, well, whatever.
That's Steve Allen.
But Vanessa... Rick, no one needs blue humor.
Repent. Do you hear it?
Yeah, it's
okay.
Still, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so Miss America was Miss America. Vanessa Williams was Miss America. And then Bob Guccione, who publishes Penthouse Magazine, was like, hey, look at these photos of you getting on with another lady. Saucy. And then they bounced her. And then but it was the best thing that happened for her. She became, like, way bigger. She's probably the most famous Miss America of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, hey, do we have a Dan with CD Game Exchange? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Dan from CD Game Exchange. Hello, sir.
Hey. I think I was the static. I wasn't saying anything.
Damn you, Dan.
I know.
Hey, so I called earlier in a completely failed a live commercial. I was going to have you give the new releases, and I failed to plan. I failed to plan, and I planned to fail.
Well, I didn't realize it.
Yes. So if someone were to go to one of your fine one of your many locations, five in Portland, one near you, where you buy, you sell, you trade, where you have new items, used items, where you can, you can special order, you can move items from one store to another for no extra cost. What new releases are coming out this week, Dan?
Well, the hot ones that the kids are all about. They got the new Nas that's coming out.
Yeah. I was just reading a review of that this morning. What is it called? Rap is Dead.
Yeah, hip-hop is dead.
Hip-hop is dead? Yeah, I heard some good reviews of that this morning.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of all the hip-hop artists all jumbled up, and they're like, wait a minute, hip-hop is dead because that's what we do for a living.
Yeah, it's ironic, and Jay-Z is on that and whatever, and it's coming out on Def Jam Records, so there's that. What else is coming out?
Well, there's a bunch of more rap artists who's got some albums out, like Trick Daddy, Bow Wow's coming out, and DJ Clue. Unfortunately, there's no
so
rock.
Old. I'm so old. I just don't know any of this. I couldn't. Sarah, can you sing a Bow Wow song?
No.
Could you, if I put a gun to your head,
like
could you?
12, I think.
No. That was when he was Lil Bow Wow. He's no longer Lil.
Bow Wow, yeah.
No, he's no longer Lil. He's big.
Not a clue.
He's all grown.
He's Bow Wow.
He's just Bow Wow. All right. What about DVDs? Anything coming out in the realm of DVDs that people should be aware of?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure there is, but I don't have a list right now.
Fantastic. All right. But, of course, it doesn't really matter because at CD Game Exchange, you have, at any given moment, got thousands and thousands of DVDs and CDs that are used.
Oh,
Xbox
sure.
games, people, they can come in, get cash in hand, they can buy, they can sell, they can trade, and, of course, they can experience the legendarily courteous and professional CD Game Exchange service. Isn't that right, Dan?
Yeah, they usually just seem to hang out and listen to my dope jams that I'm playing.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. There you go. Dan at CD Game Exchange. Go in and listen to his dope jams, won't you, please? Dan's at the one on Hawthorne, by the way, right by Ben & Jerry's. Go on in and enjoy Dan's fresh dope jams. Do it today. Good God. All right. I'm so old.
You're old. I have no idea what that last conversation was
The
about.
Only thing I even know, the only name that is even familiar to me there was Nas, and that's only because he's been putting out records for like 20 years now. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
How about that? Bow, wow, wow,
Jesus. I have no... isn't he Master P's kid? Isn't that the thing? Somebody would know. I don't really care. Don't call. Don't call. I don't care that much. Don't call now. Here's Tim Riley.
A man has been choked to death by his pet boa constrictor. This is a 13-foot snake. It was still strangling Ted Dress's body when it was discovered by an acquaintance.
He's been was strangled by his own boa constrictor?
Yes.
Okay.
People are often unaware of the risks of keeping snakes such as a boa constrictor as a pet. People who keep these types of animals as pets should know exactly what they're doing and what they're capable of, said Andy of the Cincinnati Society of the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. He warned reptile owners against wrapping snakes around their necks. For instance, when posing for photographs. They don't realize in a few seconds they could be choked to death, as may have been the case in this time. The snake will be housed in an animal shelter and until they find a living family.
Did this by any chance take place in Florida?
It did not. It took place in Cincinnati.
Oh, you were trying to beat me.
Oh, it just sounded like a Florida story.
Nope.
It sounded like a story that would take place. That's a stylish new phone you got there.
Thank you.
As Douglas Adams would say, test that hoopy new phone.
Jen Lane needs a Santa Claus costume for tonight, so I was letting her know that she could borrow mine.
Yeah, did Nate give you that?
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
It's really cool.
All right.
It has a typewriter.
Yep.
It's got the full QWERTY keyboard.
I don't know what kind it is, but it's really neat.
All right, here's John. Hello, sir.
Hey there. You know, I was wondering on all these guys that are up there on the mountains, looking for the, what's his name that's stuck up there? How many of those guys are actually wearing those locator beacons themselves?
Well, I would hope they would learn by example.
You know, I was talking with somebody last night whose husband climbs the mountain, and they say, no, I bet you less than half of them are wearing those.
Maybe, but I mean, whatever. I mean, I guess that's their boggle. Although, I mean, I will say this. That at least, like, at this point, the likelihood of those guys not being found is substantially lower, if only because everybody's kind of up there and aware that there's guys crawling over the mountain. I'll tell you what, you wouldn't get me up there on that. I don't drive to Gresham without my GPS.
Hey, let's
not
be talking bad about Gresham now.
I was never talking bad about Gresham.
Hey, I got another one for you. You know, when Screech was fighting on the Celebrity, he fought Horseshack.
Oh, yeah, Ron Palillo.
And he pretty much beat the mojo right out of him. That dude looked hammered by the end of that fight.
He hasn't been seen since. Did you say that he beat the mojo right out of him?
Yeah, why? Is there a problem with that?
No, look, don't be confrontational. That's really funny.
Oh, well, thank you then.
Wait, hold on.
Work the mojo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Beat the mojo right out of him. I'm going to use that phrase because that could be like an actual real sports phrase.
You can have that as often as you'd like.
Thank you. Can that be...
this joke, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Thank you. All right.
Good day, Dan.
Thank you. Good day to you, sir. Thank you, John.
There you go.
Beat the mojo right out of him. All right. Let's take this call, do a couple more, and then we'll break. We got Jim Rupp at the top who's going to tell us about a sad passing, especially if you were Tim and I. Here's Don.
It's John, but yeah. Years ago, I was at Bumper Shoot, and there was some kid, 12 years old, punk kid, whatever, and he had three zip ties interlocked together and was wearing them as a necklace around his neck so that the straps are sticking out like 6-8 inches. He's walking right in front of me. And it's all I can do not to yank on one of them.
Seriously, I totally would have been tempted. And zip ties.
I was dying.
You mean like those little riot cuffs, so like where you put the plastic end through and you pull it tight and it goes and it pulls? That's what the cops use in like riots to quickly.
It's one way device.
Yeah.
Unless you have a pen knife in about 10 minutes.
Totally. God. I mean, please just let him have tripped. You know, like during the day and like snags on something going down. Really, that's fantastic.
I mean, would that be homicide or just, how would they...
I think it'll be understandable. I think that's what Marlon Perkins would call a thinning of the herd.
It's like walking through a crowd with a gun hat,
Yeah,
like
really.
A hat that's got a gun on it, and then somebody, I don't know, I pulled the trigger. I didn't think it was...
No, that's totally true. That's exactly what that is. All right, thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
And a quick shop talk. Can you imagine holding the same radio job for 40 years at the same radio station?
No.
Harry LaPierre retiring after 40 years being the morning newsman at the WBZ in Boston. Those of us who grew up in New England, we listened to what our parents did, grandparents.
Who was just telling me the other day that they... God, where was I just talking about? We had some email on Friday about... Oh, Bob Jones University. Bob Jones University, that nutcase place where they just now decided to allow like interracial dancing or dancing at all or whatever the hell. But Paul Harvey went there, and the guy was saying that occasionally Paul Harvey would do the PA announcements at the school. I think that's what it was. The guy had sent an email.
That's pretty amazing.
And occasionally would be like, good day, Bob Jones University. And he would come on, and I can't do a Paul Harvey, but he would totally come on, and Paul Harvey would actually do the school morning announcements sometimes, which would be fantastic. That would almost make it worth, like, the fascist atmosphere of the school to have Paul Harvey doing your school announcements.
That's kind of scary.
I love Paul Harvey. It's going to be a sad day when that guy dies.
Yeah, he's still around. Paul Harvey must be, like, 90 now.
I think Susan Reynolds... Susan Reynolds is sort of, to reuse something that I said off the air the other day. The other day I was referring to Tracy Guns, who we interviewed as being the Forrest Gump of rock, because he's just like the common thread. But then I realized that made him sound like he was retarded.
It did.
So I So then I revised it to say that he was the Zelig. He was the Leonard Zelig of rock, which is a little bit of, it's kind of an obscure reference. It's a Woody Allen film about a guy.
One of the best Woody Allen films.
It is a fantastic film. It's an amazing.
Not as good as Radio Days, but.
Not as good. It's technically speaking, though. It's probably Woody Allen's most technically impressive film. But it's about a guy who lives for like 100 years throughout history, changing everything, blah, blah, blah. But I said he was like the Zelig of rock and roll, Tracy Guns. Susan Reynolds is sort of a radio Zelig because she's worked with so many people, but I'm pretty sure she said she worked at WLS with Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey was there. I'm pretty sure this is her. And she said that, like, she ever so often, she'd be in the elevator, and, like, Paul Harvey would get in, you know, with his, like, bow tie or whatever at 4:30 in the morning, and she'd say, you know, hello, Mr. Harvey, and, like, look at her feet, all nervous, and be like, well, hello, young lady. And then he would just stare blankly ahead, thinking soothing, serene thoughts about Bose radios. And then he would get off at the 54th floor and go create the radio magic. I dig that guy. Rick, about your mama. I don't have a mama. Me and my dad share yours.
Oh.
Thank you. That's fantastic. Thank you, Steve. It's Tim Riley.
It says here, attention, Sarah X. Dillon.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wait. I think I know what I need to have prepared for this. And with the whole...
Gwen Stefani claims breastfeeding has given her superhuman powers. The singer gave birth to son Kingston in May this year and says she loves nursing her baby.
Mm.
Gwen tells USA Today, I'm still nursing and I think it gives you superhuman power. The former No Doubt singer toured until she was 4.5 months pregnant and is already back on the road promoting her single, Wind It Up. But says Kingston is enjoying going to work with her. She adds, there's this huge team of us who are always hanging out together, so he gets the same people every day. And he's very cool. Chilled out. He's just another person, except he's super cute and super entertaining.
Of course, and he's smarter than all the other children.
And
his
says,
finger paintings were the work of magic.
I pray I can have another baby.
Yes.
How long can you breastfeed a child?
Forever.
I'm not sure what the time limit is. Maybe Scotty knows.
Got he's 7 months old now.
No, it's forever. I mean, I think the deal is, how do I put this? I think that only stops due to inactivity. You know what I'm saying?
Oh. Well, but if you continue to do it, it will never be an accident.
I think it's
right?
Like priming the pump. I think you prime the pump, and then the pump is working.
What kind of a dumb thing is that to say that breastfeeding gives you magical power?
It's a retarded thing that parents say. I think that if you just...
You don't love kids until you have your own.
You look into his eyes, it's all worth it. What was in her head that decided that was a good idea?
Breast milk?
No, I think that as long as you keep, as long as you are consistently breastfeeding, I don't believe it ever stops. I think that when you stop doing it, after a while, that ability sort of goes away. I think. Ask Davey.
No, I hate getting him started on the breastfeeding talk. He'll never stop.
Mama sauce. I just want to loop the beginning over and over again to play.
Scotty J.
We could run that all day Christmas.
All right. It's 5. We'll just take this out. 503-733-2970. The worst song. 503-733-2970. Coming up, Jim Roop. If someone shuffles off their mortal coil, we'll talk to Scotty J and get the suburban perspective. Tim Riley returns from the Ministry of Truth. Is the show almost over already? That's insane. It really is.
It needs to be 5 hours.
Thank you, Bruce.
Don't, Tim.
Let's not tip speed.
Yeah, just go all morning. You don't get about 6 a.m. and go till 5. You, by the way, can I just tell you? I'm not talking out of school here. No, you know, so
we are in school.
We used to air Jim Cramer's Real Money, and then the Jim Cramer Show went away. That was not our choice.
I never listened.
Well,
we all miss him terribly.
Apparently, many people shared your lack of listening habits, Tim, because the Jim Cramer Show went away. The network just decided to remove that from the lineup. And so now we did what I think is a pretty good thing. We instead of Stephanie Miller being 6 to 10, Stephanie Miller, we time shifted it, and so it's now 7 to 11 right at dusk, which I think is good, because and everybody's got their own taste, but I think it's a good show, and a lot of people who maybe didn't get a chance to hear it or weren't exposed to the Stephanie Miller show, they hear it now because it leads right at dusk. That being said, you would be stunned, or perhaps not, at the number of people in this building, in this organization, who were like, 5-hour Rick Emerson show. And
stop. It sounds like you're trying to, like, wheedle it into our heads.
Because you should see the emails. I was immediately, and I won't name who these people were, but I was getting emails from people that we know here in the building who were like, do I smell 5 hours of Rick Emerson? And I just typed back, I'm like, hell no. Like, there's not enough. Not going to happen. The best was, and I won't say who, but the best was the person who's like, come on, 5 hours of Rick Emerson. And then he paused and he goes, we'd be getting paid. And I was like, no, it's never going to happen. Ever. Ever.
Not everything's about money. I care more about quality.
Come on, girl.
All right. All right. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
I only knew the lonely girl could lay, 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 lay. You got with the girl and girl could lay, 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 lay.